Hey, this is John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. I'm with Jason Mazursky, who has been the guitar player for Ben Harper for a decade.
A decade now.
Jeez, yeah, man.
It's been a minute.
That's got to be such a fun gig.
It's an amazing gig.
Yeah.
The best.
Good for you,
yeah,
man.
Very fortunate.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, awesome band. And Charlie Musselwhite's on this tour, right?
Yeah.
God.
It's just a dream to
yeah.
play with him.
I mean, like, to, if your 15-year-old self could see you today,
right?
If you could explain how cool your life is going to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I mean, getting it, it still seems surreal.
Yeah.
We've been lucky enough to make 2 records now with him. And
God, that's
just
great. He
takes us to school every night.
Yeah, man. Dude's a treasure. Well, that's great. And speaking of treasures, let's talk about this great gold treasure you have right here.
This gold top I got from my friends at True Tone Music in Santa Monica, and it's a 53, I believe.
Oh wow!
But it's,
that they
it's had
converted.
Like everything you could do to it done to it.
So right.
It's got this really ugly headstock.
Love
repair.
That. Oh yeah, that is a 53. That yeah. Okay. Jeez.
And some of these parts I think are even like 70s parts. There's bumblebees, original bumblebee caps
here,
inside.
Let's just people see the back of that thing. God. Use and abuse.
Use and
love
abuse in every
that.
Way. Yeah.
God.
It had a Bigsby on and off. It had a wrap around. It was routed, obviously. The tune-o-matic was installed.
Hey, so these pickups, what's the story on them?
These are 59 PAFs.
So they are honest to God PAFs.
Honest to God PAFs.
Wow,
yeah.
Man.
These came into my life later. It had a PAF here and a T-top here, which are now in my backup one.
Wow.
And I actually got these pickups from True Tone as well. My friend there called me, Charles, and he said, hey, are you interested in PAFs? And I said, I'm always,
I'm always
interested in PAFs.
Have we met?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, in the double cream.
Yeah.
Come on.
They were just, they were crazy. And thankfully, I got to hear them before committing, so that was a pretty rare
exactly.
luxury.
Because
well.
They're not all
they're
equal.
Not all the same, and you know,
and
a lot of people don't
crappy.
Want you to install them in guitars. And
yeah.
Paul Flynn there put them in for me, and it was awesome. So,
good for
this
you,
is, yeah,
man.
This is my number one, and I don't take it out all that much, but this year we've been in Europe and in different places, so we kind of had to split our
yeah.
rigs, and I needed to take it, so...
What a happy dilemma.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's scary, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you know, super
yeah, you don't
valuable,
want to scratch it.
Or it's not super valuable or anything. It's just
pretty valuable.
Well, it's valuable, but it's not like, yeah. you know, taking out a 59 or something like
right.
that.
Right. Yeah, the last time we were here, we had bought a
Mossa. I shouldn't say it's not valuable.
Yeah.
Like, that's
yeah.
Sorry, can we scratch that?
You know,
can
actually,
you edit that out?
Yeah, I think we should, now we really want to keep it in. This is so...
I mean, in the grand scheme of Les
Pauls.
Like
Joe Bonamassa, valuable.
Yeah,
because yeah. like, that dude, when we had him, you know, he rolled in here with 260s, you know, bursts that were...
Yeah, that's
I mean,
crazy.
Yeah, but I love the fact that he's playing it.
Yeah.
I love the fact you're playing this, man.
Yeah, thank you.
I play my old stuff all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, it's just, it makes you do different things. And
right.
And that's really the whole point.
Yeah, it's like they're kind of imbued with something, so why not
yeah, exactly.
take that?
Yeah, if I just sit at home, nobody cares.
Yeah, yeah,
no,
exactly.
No one's listening to it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay, that's a cool start, man.
Thanks, man.
Good for you.
This one, I got... right before this tour from Austin Vintage Guitars, my friend Steve there had this, and it's a 64.
Oh, great.
SG, and it's just one of those magic cream sounding.
Right.
You know, SGs.
Yeah.
Had a little binding repair there.
Sure.
And that's
well,
kind
in,
of it.
In 54 years.
Yeah.
Stuff will
that's
happen.
That's not too bad. yeah. Thankfully, it's not broken, and it's just a.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I love
this thing.
And those are patented?
Yeah. These are patent numbers.
Which
I believe I've never taken it apart.
Essentially the same pickup.
From
as,
what I understand,
yeah.
some people think it's a bit different, but I don't really know the answer.
Yeah.
I would just, if, you know, go by how they sound. And they
sure.
sound Right, in this guitar.
Right. Well, that's beautiful, man.
So okay. That's a really fun one.
So when do you change guitars? Does it depend on the song or the mood or?
The song. Yeah. Or the mood. I try to do different things if I can every night.
And, yeah.
And so I use different guitars on different songs.
Sure.
Sometimes to try to get there.
Right. It's kind of fun to see where a different guitar will take you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Some nights it works, and some nights you fall like on your face.
Not doing that again. Yeah. Right. Right.
This Strat I love. This Dale Wilson made this for me at Fender, at the custom shop.
And oh wow! It's
a new guitar, and it started out as like a Lake Placid blue, and I don't know if you can.
Oh yeah.
See that really carefully, but you can kind of barely see the blue, but it's mainly this really neat looking green.
Yeah, that's sexy.
And it's got flat wounds on it, and just an awesome
speaking strat. Of strings, what do you run?
I usually use Diodario 10s, I think.
And what of their many types? Flat ones on that one, but on the other ones.
Oh, yeah. Bill, I don't know what they are. I guess I should know this. the basic Diodario 10s.
We'll ask Bill.
Well, I know that these are the chromes, which I really like.
Okay, cool.
I know there are lots of flat wound brands, but those to me I think they're the most inexpensive version or one of them,
really?
And they sound great.
Man, so, I love their strings.
Me too.
They make great strings.
Ben was with them when I joined, and they luckily, you know, and nicely took me in as well. And
it's an easy transition.
That's all we use. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. That's okay. Great. Well, let's keep this show and tell going.
All right. This is a guitar made by Bill Asher.
Oh yeah, open that up. Let's see that. Oh yeah, like the Cooter
Caster. In Los Angeles, exactly. And it originally wasn't a Cooter Caster, and Ben has one. You'll see the original format of it.
Wow, cool.
Bill, I wanted to make a Cooter Caster, and he had just made one for Blake Mills, who I'm a big fan of, and
sure,
he said
the dude's great.
Yeah, he said that he put one of these old Guyatone pickups. So this is a pickup from an old 50s Supro lap steel. And then this is a 60s Guyatone pickup, I guess.
Wow.
My favorite thing is the orange spacer.
Right. Isn't that great?
And when you see him without him, it doesn't look like the same pickup.
Yeah. Does this jack with you at all, having that cover there?
It does, yeah.
It would, I think, for the whole...
You have to really be careful. You can slice your hand open.
Yeah.
On
well,
this thing.
And I would just I think for muting, it would be odd, right?
It's odd.
Yeah.
That's why I can only use it on certain things.
Yeah. It's almost like those 52 Les Pauls where the strings are under.
Exactly.
Like how weird that is.
Super weird.
Yeah.
This
Ooh, neat.
Is my sort of ode to Stevie Ray Vaughan, who I've always loved since I was a kid and growing up in Texas and stuff. So he had this Charlie's Strat that was
three lipsticks.
Olympic white and three lipsticks pickups. So I bought an old cheapy silver tone.
Yeah.
And I pulled the pickups out of it.
Oh, cool. So you did it yourself.
Yeah. And then I found another. Well, I found the pickups myself.
Yeah.
And then I had Greg Fessler at the custom shop make this guitar for me.
That's great.
And the difference is his had an ebony board. And so this is a slab board, rosewood board. And then this has a tremolo, which I never use. But there's something about having that.
Sure.
That tailpiece and that space, different than a hardtail.
Yeah, they
for me
they
that I prefer.
Sound different.
Yeah. So that's a really fun guitar.
Yeah, that's cool. Love it.
This is the guitar I learned to play on that I still use.
Oh, wow, that's great, man.
It's like a late 80s 62 reissue that they used to make.
Love it.
And it's been beaten up all over.
How old were you when you got this?
I didn't start playing until I was about 18.
Wow.
Almost. So I got this, I think, when I was 20.
God.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I'm really old now. So, but it's fun that it stays, it's still usable. It still sounds really good.
That's great.
And this is a fun one. This is my double neck.
Oh.
That my friends and I used to have a Led Zeppelin cover band called Pudge Zeppelin. We were the chubby Led Zeppelin.
That's great.
And so I had this guitar for that. And we were just playing drunken bars and, you know, have
sure.
fun. But now it's tuned to this open C tuning that Bill came up with. And I use it for a song called Blood Side Out. on this tour.
How cool. So, that's great.
Yeah, it's a super heavy beast.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that you got that for a Zeppelin cover band.
The chubby Led Zeppelin. The world needed it, you know?
Yeah.
I'll just do one more. This is my backup Les Paul, and it's a collector's choice.
Beautiful.
I don't remember which number it is, but it's like a 60. So the neck is
skinnier neck.
And this is a PAF, and these are the pickups from that gold top.
Oh, really? So
yeah.
You took them out of the gold top, uh-huh. Put them in this one. Wow,
yeah, I just
great.
Took the stock pickups out of here.
Yeah.
And it's great. It showed me how much of the equation, you know, the pickups represent.
Really?
Definitely.
So when you changed it over from, because they were trying to replicate it, but the actual real thing. I heard your tech, Bill, playing that during soundcheck, and it was almost like a big telly.
Yeah.
Like really
it's
cut.
It's got a real clear sound to it.
Yeah, it's funny. Later humbuckers got so kind of muddy.
I'm a big fan of putting old pickups in newer guitars that you're going to tour with or whatever, for whatever reason.
Sure.
And it's made a huge difference in stuff that I like to use live because I don't know. I mean, it's obviously part of the wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, grab one of those things. Let's go look at some pedals and stuff.
Okay.
Amps and pedals and all that jazz. Okay, we are in amp land. Let's tell me about what do you got going on here?
So this amp is a...
This Marshall?
1970. Yeah, Marshall. Is a 1970 100 watt. And
wow.
It's got Tungsell 6550s, which it had when I originally got it about 20 years ago. And then the tubes burned out, and I had the hardest time finding them. And then I'm very
Isn't that amazing what a difference that makes.
It's everything. It's like the pickups and the guitars.
Yeah,
you know, it's comparable.
Yeah.
So I'm lucky in my life to have two amazing tech amp people. So Bill and then my friend Doug Anderson in LA, and Doug's got this warehouse or this studio full of original parts and everything, tubes, sockets, you know, capacitors, everything.
Yeah.
So
a nerd's dream.
Yeah, yeah. He's unbelievable, and he just knows. He and Billy both know what to do to make it sound right. So Doug put it back to stock, but I still didn't have the right tubes. And then I was digging through some stuff I moved recently, and I found another quartet of those tubes. So Bill put them back in, and then there it was. It was back.
It's great.
And so that runs through this Vox cabinet, which is, I guess, a 65 or something.
Cool.
With the original silver Bulldogs in it.
Wow. I'm amazed they're holding up, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Originally, I had the head, too, but I sold the head. But I just love the cab so much that I never let it go.
And it looks so cool.
Yeah.
It's great.
And then that's a 65-ish Princeton Reverb.
Great.
And it's really odd because it came from the factory with a 12.
Wow.
So I don't even know if the homage lines up. You know, I have no idea, but I know.
Don't care.
I just never mess with it. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. Those old Fender amps are really hard to kill.
It's
like you can plug anything into them. They don't seem to blow up.
They're the best. Yeah. I mean, the only thing that happens frequently is the little wires for the reverb get broken.
Sure.
And so.
Yeah. Because they're just moving.
Every
all
couple
time.
Of weeks, Billy has to re-solder them.
Yeah.
And then the reverb's back.
Yeah, cool.
And then the backup head is a Park 75 from about 1969. It's a...
Wow.
It's great, too. It's just the Marshall has this sort of...
Sure.
More stout presence to it.
Yeah. Well, then that's a very cool backup.
Yeah. yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, man, let's talk about your modest pedal board.
Okay.
Okay, now we're at Pedal Land, and you got your tech, Bill Webb, here.
Friend Bill Webb.
Thanks for joining
us. Hi, kids.
Hey!
Bill and I have been going, you know, talking about this for weeks.
Okay, good.
You know?
Good, well.
We forgot his lab coat and stuff. And his wolf hands. But,
and a chicken.
But he's here.
Yeah. Perfect. Hey, before you go through these pedals, let's hear the guitar just straight into the amp. Oh, cool. Okay, now take us through one at a time.
Okay. This, let's see.
Starts with your tuner.
Starts with the tuner, goes straight into the tuner. Then this is a Univibe made by Vibro out of Austin, Texas.
Shanae Honey guys.
You know those guys well.
Bob Feldman. Feldman, yeah. And Lee Jackson helped design it. Dustin Sears also.
Lee Jackson, Dustin Sears.
And that's the Shanae Honey Univibe kind of thing.
Cool.
Yeah, like the repro of the old.
Okay, let's hear that thing.
It's got that, you know, really that old.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, that's so great. Okay, love that. And then from there, what's next in line?
Then this is the Mike Campbell signature pedal that JH, is it JHS?
Oh, cool, yeah. JHS, cool.
Yeah, sorry, JHS. And it's cool. It's got an overdrive on this side. And then on this side is a fuzz. And then you can combine them. Which gets gnarly, but
it does. Yeah, it gets real spongy when you got them both going at the same time. That's cool.
And then it goes into a silver Klon that I've had for 20 plus years.
Oh, good for you, man.
I luckily got them back before they were
crazy, you know, right?
Rent prices.
Yeah, right. Let's hear that thing.
So there's the record.
Yeah, that's great.
And I've never found anything that I think does it as well.
Right.
But I haven't gone through everything.
Yeah. Well, I've gone through everything, and I don't know.
I know they make a zillion copies.
We
though,
review
right?
so much, and it's funny. I hear some that, I mean, I never have one like that can A, B to it. But this is the golden age of pedals. There's so many pedals out there.
They really are.
It is amazing that they got it right like the first time.
They really did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I know they make the KTR one, which I've never tried.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I've this has been such a part of the way I play and what I do for my whole, you know, since I came out.
Yeah.
That when it's gone, it's like feels very strange to me.
Yeah. Well, that's
so luckily
great.
I got them back in the day.
Yeah.
Then it goes into a Flint reverb and tremolo. It can kind of sound a little extreme when you already have the reverb going on that, but sometimes in the setting, you know, with the lap steel and harmonica and stuff, it really can. And then it's got the tremolo too.
That's great.
Which is great. And then this is just another version. It's a Red Panda Context reverb, a little more extreme. But
and does that split it into stereo from there? Is that where you're?
It's just a mono out. So it's just a mono out. It splits over here with the Framp tone.
Oh, okay.
In the corner.
Oh, okay. So you've got so this runs mono into the Framp tone. And then the Framp tone directs it.
Yeah, it's three outputs. One into the Princeton, one into the Marshall, and then the third output is in the back for the spare.
Sure.
And in case we have to switch to that, you could just kill that one and step on that one, and this one takes over.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's an easy way to do it.
It's all phase adjusted, so everything's in phase.
So and one
ground lifted.
One thing that is interesting is, like, will you kick off the Marshall, please, Bill? Thank you. So if you just hear. That's just the Princeton, then you add the Marshall to that. sudden it's some other thing.
Yeah, it's a cool, that's the cool thing about two amps. They just, they get something that you can't get with one.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
This one also has a secret. Should we tell them?
Oh, I told them, yeah.
You already told them?
About the 12.
The 12. Yeah. I love the 12. That's great.
It's a 12 with a 10-inch hole.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Cool. It's a 10-inch hole.
Oh.
So it's always going like this.
That's great.
That's good. Yep.
Yeah. Begging for mercy.
Yeah, well, whatever. It works. It's jacked up as it might seem.
Yeah.
Yeah, it totally works. Well, man, such a pleasure meeting you.
Great.
Thanks
to
a million.
Meet you.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Hey, I'm here in Nashville, Tennessee with Ben Harper before his sold out show. Ben, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right, it's an honor.
It's an honor to it's an honor to be part of what you guys have going. I think Jason may have mentioned we've seen them all.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah. Great. Well, thank you. Well, and God, you're on tour with Charlie Musselwhite.
Can you believe it?
I bet if your 15-year-old self could know that, right?
So true.
Yeah. Yeah, well, what, I mean, that's got to be an amazing experience every night.
Every single night, it's like something I've never heard or experienced. It's fresh from the second we walk on stage to the second we walk off. I'm always sad when the shows are over.
God, isn't that amazing? And out of one diatonic instrument, it's unlimited what he can get out of it, right?
It's kind of, I mean, I don't want to offend or cross-pollinate unfairly, but I mean, it's like a trumpet with like...
Right! Right.
Like a bunch more notes.
Yeah, right.
I guess you can get all those notes out of a trumpet, but not at once.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's amazing. Well,
it's a blues trumpet.
Yeah, it's a blues trumpet, yeah. Yeah, well, that's very cool.
The way Charlie plays it, some nights I truly don't know what I'm hearing. He just transcends it into something outer planetary.
Yeah, how loud, okay, I want to get to you, but this is something we have to cover.
This is great, man.
How loud is he blowing? I mean, like...
We've got it set stage appropriate so that the front row doesn't get a haircut.
Sure.
You know, and that's kind of important for all of us, you know.
But you're right. I mean, he's to your left, like, close. That amp is right by you.
Oh, so yeah. No, but I've got appropriate proximity. You know, you'll see me during the show wander over. Whoever's taking a solo, I wander right in front of their amps. I'm blocking the sound. I want to hear them. So that's when Charlie's soloing, I go just... I want it to genetically encode me.
Right. That's great. Well, hey, let's talk a little bit about guitars. You're carrying a nice arsenal of stuff here.
From what you see, because you've seen a lot of these vaults,
as they call them,
right?
Yeah.
How does this compare as far as number of axes to most?
Well, you know, it's there's a lot of treasure in this vault.
Okay.
And I know as a multi-instrumentalist, you're changing it up a lot to get the tones you want.
That probably wouldn't have been like, you know, when I went out with Taj Mahal in the early days, you know,
I
was a kid. I was in my early 20s.
Yeah.
And, you know, I brought along fortunately at that point, they had made those lap steel capos so I could move around and switch on the fly. So when it's not your gig.
Yeah.
There's a conservation of equipment that has to take place at times, you know?
Yeah.
But fortunately, I've worked up my own hustle to where I can be precious about what guitar on what song.
And yeah,
that feels good because it feels, not that it would have been a compromise to not have, you know, because at the end of the day, it's what's in here and what's in here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But with that said, when you make when you record, as the producer in me likes to have the right guitar for the right song, as far as the way they went to tape and were recorded.
Sure.
In other words, I could do it with less,
but
I'm glad to not have to.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, and I mean, I don't know. I mean, your sound is your sound. You've won 3 Grammys. You know what you're doing. So why
Fair
not? Yeah.
All
so
right.
Why not make it live? Yeah.
Well, true enough.
Yeah, you're an authority. So
man, fucked around and became an authority on some shit.
No, but I mean, I love the humility, but 3 Grammys is huge, man. That's a big to do.
Man.
Well, anyway, let's.
Even
I can see I'm embarrassing you.
To hear you say it, it's like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah. I can see we're embarrassing you. So let's just talk about some
All
beer.
Right.
Let's start. Where do you want to start?
Let's start left to right.
Sure.
This is the Levy Break Special.
Oh, great, man!
And it's a gold tone. You know, gold tone. When I first started playing Weisenborns, they were $50 or $100.
Sure.
Nobody really wanted them.
Yeah.
They just weren't.
total just, weirdo instrument.
Yeah, they were just taking up closet space.
Yeah.
And gold tone kind of represents the evolution of where of the popularity of the instrument. And they stepped up and made a great instrument at an affordable price.
Great.
And this is their 12-string version, and I use it solely for levee breaks.
Oh, wow. God. And what pickup are you running there?
And that is a Seymour Duncan Magmite.
Oh, great. Great. Now, are you running it, like, are you going for a... Or you're running it through your rig, not direct.
I am, and for this, I come as close to, because that's John Paul Jones playing lap steel on that song, Quiet As It's Kept.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. And
jeez, man.
And so he hit me to the tuning, and he, and I keep it clean. I keep it true to form as far as the sound he was going for on record. And and it's quite a clean tone on the recording, so I don't use any effects or any overdrive for that.
Yeah.
I just keep it the clean. 12 string sound.
Wow, that's great. Okay, beautiful instrument, love it. Good start.
I'm gonna try to keep it to, you know, 2 minutes an instrument.
You know what? Whatever, doesn't matter, man.
And it's, then let's go for the, this is the first, this is the, I'm untied.
Boy, it's funny, those Weisenborn, the old, like I've got one that's a slat key, which is untunable. I mean, you
absolutely, okay, need some work.
Yeah, they, okay. I mean, but that's what most of those were. I mean, back in the day, they were like, I don't know. I mean, it's an old instrument that maybe at one point worked well, but.
Yeah, that's, I'll tell you what though, he made them pretty rough and tumble to
really?
Where once you, because they're 100 years old, they all need some attention, most of them anyway.
Yeah.
But once you give them that attention, they're built to last.
Really?
Yeah, they tour real good.
Huh. I
had one on tour for 25 years.
Wow.
And haven't had to even fix a loose brace.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's really impressive. Yeah.
But again, they do get sat by heaters and freaking windows and all the elements over 100 year.
Right. 100 years on wood is like a, you know, that's a
and
long...
And depending on how they're left strung up, too.
Yeah, sure.
That can, yeah. Anyway, all right.
Okay, this, we'll talk Weisenborn.
This is a signature instrument I have that's built by Billy Asher in Venice, California.
Wow, how beautiful.
Yeah, and for me, he and I designed this together, and it has slight Weisenborn appointments, but it's got less pot, it's got a bunch of
total,
things.
Total,
But a lot's gone into kind of making it what it is, but for me, the physics of it make it, I think, the best electric, one of the best electric lap steels going.
That's great. So this is your signature
six-string.
Signature six string.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, it's like a loving homage to a 59 Les Paul. And
if a Les Paul and a Weisenborn had a baby and it morphed into a lap steel, this would be it.
Yeah, that's great. Love it. What pickups did you put in there?
These are Seymour Duncan, 59 type humbuckers.
PAF-ish, yeah.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Cool.
You can see where I'm knocking the, I mean, I always knock the lining. Some people, other lap steel players have asked why I keep it so low. I prefer the lower the string to the fretboard, because you're already dealing with heightened tensions with open tunings.
Yeah, yeah.
So to lower the strings a little bit lightens up on the tension just that much, enough to give it a feel that I go for.
Sure.
The higher you raise it, the tighter the tension.
That makes sense.
So I end up knocking out, you know, I bring them back after damn near every tour for an inlay replacement, you know?
That's great. How did you get into playing lap steel?
I heard David Lindley and Ry Cooder.
Oh yeah, that would do it.
And that was game over. You know, growing up in a music store, you'd start the day by hearing somebody come in and play Stairway to Heaven.
Right.
And you'd end the day by someone coming into the music store playing Little Wing.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, and then, so you don't really get to choose. You know, it chooses you.
Yeah.
And steel guitar, I just, that sound haunted me as a kid.
Yeah.
It was just, it's kind of all I cared about.
Yeah, that's great, man. Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
You know?
Yeah, very cool. Well, okay, sorry, I keep getting sidetracked.
I keep hitting my beard on this mic. People are like, man.
Oh, we're good.
All right. And this is the crowning jewel of Asher's. These are 50s PAFs.
Oh, wow.
Piano black and with the dumble knobs.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah. And this one has is in pole position most of the night. Yeah. With the tuxedo, mother pearl inlays and stuff. And this is also Billy Asher.
Wow, great, great guitar.
I always feel a little bit like a ham, you know, parading out my own signature instruments, you know, because then you're like, you're that guy, but
yeah.
Well, Ben, what it is, you know.
Ben, you're kind of a big deal. I mean, did I mention 3 Grammys? Did I mention?
I should have brought them because then we could have stacked them. I'll tell you what, nothing like humbling you with 3 Grammys stepping into Quincy Jones' Grammy room.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's.
Oh, man.
He's lost count.
It's wall to wall, floor to ceiling, and then in the centerpiece is Thriller.
Yeah, oh, really?
Yeah. And then you kind of take the tour, you know?
Yeah. That'd be a tour.
All right. So that's great.
Yeah, love that. Love it.
Now this.
Oh, what a
Brad,
cool
can
guitar.
I see a Phillips head? Small side. This, I gotta tell you, man, these folks at Noah Guitars in Italy, they're one part guitar maker, one part scientists.
Oh, that's great.
And
looks like an Airstream. I love that, man.
There you go.
Yeah, that's great.
And it's got standard humbucker setting in the middle, Gretsch humbucker setting front, bypasses all the tone straight to the back pickup only.
Oh, wow.
And that's back, middle, front. So it's got crazy options.
Oh, wow. Here, Ben.
And matter of fact, they made two of these.
Yeah. Oh, that's so great. God.
Thank you, Brad.
It's almost like, it reminds me of like 60s sci-fi. You know,
completely.
What they were imagining future to look like.
They're brilliant. And there's a bass player named Satrinino in Italy. Incredible bass player. He plays the basses. I had a Tele as well. I gave it to the Edge. And I shouldn't, because it was a gift. I don't usually give away gifts, but I also listen to the cries of my guitars, you know?
Sure, yeah.
When they want to go somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Well, and how cool to have Edge play your guitar.
I don't even know if he's played it or not. You would think.
Oh, I'm
that
sure.
Thing would reflect off the stage like crazy.
Oh, that's great.
But the artistry of this guitar inside and out is something that is...
Those Italians, man, gave us a renaissance. You know, actually, everybody has nothing but great things to say. Wow, look at...
See, man, it was worth
that
drama.
That was totally worth it.
First of all, the way they shield the back, right? So they take taking care of business there.
God, that's great, man.
And the way it's just... Even the routing of it is art.
Right. It almost looks like those Aztec-y,
Mayan crop circles.
Right, the Mayan crop circle stuff, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. No,
but seeds
from outer
space.
There's crop circles, and then there's Mayan architecture or whatever.
Yeah.
All right.
With that stuff you can see.
Yeah, we know a lot about that.
Yeah, man. Anyway, yeah. It's pretty, I'm glad you did this. This is amazing. God, man. So these patterns, are they, what? Why?
I don't know. But it's as beautiful
it's like
inside
an Easter
as
egg.
It is out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like it's because there's nothing on front to indicate it was there, but it's beautiful. I wonder if it has like some sonic qualities.
And the whole thing is one solid piece of metal.
Well, okay, Ben, that was totally worth it.
All right. Well, I'm glad it's a relief.
Yeah.
And the neck is hollow too, so it gets that crazy hollow guitar thing.
Oh, that's great, man. So you've had this about a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Okay, those are mad scientists indeed. Love that.
Would you do the honors?
Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Brad, we know what you're doing for the next half an hour.
No, it'll be way quicker to get it back on, right?
Although, we want to take a picture of that.
Oh, okay.
So before you put it back together, we got to take a picture
of that. Okay, so we'll leave it off. I'll put the screws right here with the screwdriver.
That could be your, that could be an album cover. Just a picture of that, right?
I'm going to do a guitar record, just an instrumental record.
Right.
And I'm definitely going to feature that guitar in a special way.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, very cool. Oh, now we're in the six string variety.
This is a Les Paul Junior that they made for me custom.
Great. Yeah, that's great.
Great.
Now, I bet growing up in a music store, back in the day, you could actually find, you know, 50s era Les Paul, you know, specials and juniors that were reasonably affordable.
I got to tell you, my grandparents have they started the store in 1958.
Oh, God.
And they decided early on that it was going to be an acoustic instrument store. And the instrument, the electric instruments that my grandfather turned away starting in 1958.
Oh, heartbreaking.
And I mean, as I got older and started to recognize, because up until what, 90-ish?
Yeah.
There kind of wasn't a vintage market, or not the vintage market that we kind of know today, right?
Yeah.
So as I started to become aware and kind of see a little, have a keyhole view into the future of what might happen with vintage electrics, they'd come in and the store basically worked at an operation budget.
Like
there wasn't surplus to this day.
Yeah.
It just gets, you know, vertical retail, man.
Right. Yeah. That is, that's music retail.
But when I started to see a shift, I started to plead with my grandpa, as did my mom, actually, in the 80s and 70s, uh-huh. to my grandfather, hey, man, let's keep these. These are going to be worth something. Now, nope. But also my grandpa, RIP, and God knows, the music store that's open, that he opened up, is one of the most special music environments of the world.
How cool.
But you can't have a music store for 60 years without having the one that got away story.
Yeah.
And we did have Woody Guthrie's guitar that got out from under us, too. Confirmed with Martin and everything.
Oh, wow.
But all right. There's plenty of stuff in there.
You know what? That's beautiful, though.
This is one of my cherished electric guitars, and it's my signature Jason Mazursky.
Wow. What a cool guitar. And that's a Charlie Christian pickup, right?
That's Charlie Christian and then single coil.
Oh, I love that, man. And so where's this made?
Venice. This is made by Bill Asher, the same guy who makes the Lap Steels.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah. Wow. Wow, what a beautiful...
So it's Mozo signature axe, and Jason and I actually helped Bill design that peg head.
Oh, wow. Here, flip that to the camera. You gotta see that. I love that.
We put a lot of work into getting that peg head just right.
Yeah.
Billy, Jason, and I.
And I love that it's a straight shot like that.
Got a little, just a touch of an arch, touch of a bevel there.
Yeah, that's great, man. Beautiful.
Yeah, Billy does incredible work. Incredible.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That's got to be fun to play every night.
Yeah, it's a blast. And then this is a custom shop Tele that I swapped. I had a single pickup ivory. I had a custom shop single pickup, back pickup, ivory Tele. And Mark Ford had this one. And Mark loved my single pickup, and I needed the front pickup for more of an acoustic tone.
Sure.
And we just swapped.
No, that's perfect.
So this is from Mark.
All right. Well, a Black Crow. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's got some rock and roll cred right there.
Hey, listen, man. You know, I mean, it's Premier Guitars. You may as well name drop it. I mean,
it's like, well, drop something.
Yeah. I got three motherfucking Grammys. I can name drop all I want. Shit. This is the genuine article right here.
Wow.
Brad, what is this, man? Is this, is 50s, though? This single pickup?
57, it looked like.
I'm not sure. I thought it was like maybe really early 60s.
Okay.
Well,
all right. We can look it up.
I think right there. Well, I think 7 indicates 57.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I think that's how they did it, because how they numbered them. Just the.
And so then here became is a 57 single pickup.
In TV white. That's great.
And people say, "Oh, why do you bring it on the road?" And that kind of thing. It's like, man, none of these instruments were made to sit in a case,
right,
on a shelf. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's got to be just a joy to play that thing.
I skateboard. And whenever I bust my ass skateboarding, break this, bruise that, all my skateboarding friends say, but you did it skateboarding.
Right.
No, so it's cool. Like, I didn't do it walking down the street. I did it. I busted my ass because I was actually taking some chances.
Right.
Same thing I figured with vintage instruments, man.
Yeah.
You busted the peg head. How? Rocking.
Right.
Owning it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so gotta risk it to get the biscuit.
Absolutely, that's great. Now, don't you have a warehouse dedicated just for skateboarding?
I have a warehouse for skateboarding, yeah. But it's also, okay. But not just, because I also record there. I've made records there. It's a recording studio, skateboard. Some people would call it a skate park with a recording studio. Some people call it a recording studio with a skate park.
Depends on the day of the week.
That's right.
Yeah, now that is really cool. I mean, what California kid didn't dream of having a warehouse for skating?
That's it. Yeah. I may have to make it one or the other, though, because problem is with a place like that, you fuck around and have teenage kids.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then you don't, like, I can't get into my own studio because my kids make music and my kids skate. So I have to kind of check. I'm like, hey, can I borrow my studio? It's not fair.
Dad problems.
Yeah. Third world dad problems, for sure. Yeah. And then this is Fraulini. Fraulini 12, and Fraulini.
Yeah, what is the story
Todd,
on
Todd
this?
Cambio makes instruments from the 30s and 40s. True to spec.
Every
step of the way. So the Lead Belly 12 string.
Wow, so this is the brand
Stella
new
12 string,
old
Tom
guitar.
Brothers. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, that is total Lead Belly, man. That's great. Love this too, man.
And just for the shit talking haters out there who get mad at me putting stickers on my guitar, kiss my ass, number one. And two, I'm a luthier, so I know how to do it. Every one of these stickers, you see it coming up on its own? Before I put a sticker on a guitar, I go to the carpet, I stick the sticker on the carpet 9 or 10 times.
See, there you go.
Put them on, and then they eventually peel off on their own.
Yeah.
You don't even notice. See, I mean, some have come and gone, and you wouldn't even know.
I just put mine on. I just jack up the finish.
Yeah.
I
see,
just
then there's that. But just, but because I grew up in a music store and I respect the luthier,
sure.
I take proper care to make sure that the finish won't be affected. However, the finish is checked anyway on its own. You know what I mean? Sticker or no sticker. That just happens.
Yeah.
Road life.
Well, that's great. That's great, man. So what tuning do you keep that in?
This is all E's and A's.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
And the third is on the top.
Oh, wow, what a great tuning.
Now, what? So it's, what is it? Brad, this is C sharp?
Yeah, on top. C sharp.
Okay.
Low A.
Yeah. C, yeah, C, A, E, A, E, A.
Wow.
Low A.
That is too cool. Well, that's really clever. Where did you come up with that crazy tuning?
That one I did just pull out of my head.
Really?
I just played around with it till I found it.
See, that's great.
Yeah,
I love that, man.
Yeah.
That's all part of the art project.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool, man. All right, well, you think that was cool? Let's talk about some amps. It's fixing to get even cooler. Shall we?
Okay. That's from the old, it's a bit out of school to even talk about your tone. There's a certain school where it's supposed to be a secret.
Right.
You know, and there's some guys.
Yeah. Well, like Van Halen back in the day, he would tell like misleading things about his rig so nobody would know, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, Les Paul would turn around backwards when he's playing so people couldn't see what his hands were doing.
And no one's, to this day, RIP, nobody knows how Prince got his tone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
No one has a clue. I mean, it was solid state. It's like, are you sure? No.
yeah. Right. Well, okay, so this, tell our viewers about this amp.
This particular amp, 50 watt Dumble, is the eighth Dumble ever made.
Wow.
And David called me up because
David Lindley,
this used to belong to David Lindley, and David had number 2 and number 8.
Wow.
And he, speaking of protecting tone, he wasn't going to divulge whether the solo on Mercury Blues was either one.
So what year do you think this was made?
This had to be, if it's number 8, I suppose it's early 70s.
God, so this, could this have been out with like Jackson Browne on the road?
No, it was. It was Jackson Browne and LAOX.
Oh, won't you stay? Could have been done on that.
Could have been.
Oh, jeez, man. What, that tone on that? Forget about it, man.
That was the aim. I mean, that set the standard for lap steel overdriven tone.
God, right? Because, I mean, I remember hearing that thinking, what is that instrument?
Yeah, like, the whole world stood at attention.
Yeah. So this is that, I mean, this is probably that amp, man.
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay. So he contacted you.
Contacted me. He has an arsenal.
Oh,
Dumbles.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And he was letting his main two go.
Huh.
Number two and number eight.
Wow.
And he gave me first call. And we made a point of, I said, I don't, you know, never mind what was played through which one. I just want the one that sounds the best for what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
So I plugged them both in and I ended up with eight.
Wow. That's great, man. And you can see those are...
I love all of Lindley's old settings.
So that's his marking.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it's just like David to just go, never mind, like tape it, just like boom, Sharpie to face.
Yeah, and they're so strangely arbitrary.
Yeah, and you're right. Like is that really for the bass? Did David crank the bass all the way over? Is that possible?
At one point, maybe, you know, I don't know.
God. And maybe, and treble has one that's hot up around 10 too. So did he kind of do his own mastering and just go treble bass?
God, that's so crazy, man.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried those? Oh, you had, I'm sure you have. I'm sure you've said it.
Yeah.
You've done it all by now. Because how long have you had this now?
I've had this for 15 years, 10 years, God, 10 years.
Good for you, man. That's great. And so great that you tour with it. You know?
Again, I can't, you know, I just can't. Can't leave it on the shelf.
Yeah, right.
Because in nothing else, listen, there's a lot of things that come close that I've found, and there's great Dumble sounding, beautiful overdriven amps out there, but I just can't hit the mark the way I do with the Dumbles.
And what a treat for your audience to actually hear that sound, you know? I mean, like, okay. Hear that sound, you know? So it's, yeah, I love that. I love the give a shit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I mean, look, if we were guaranteed three or four lives, it'd be a different thing, man. But you got one road here.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Okay, well, that is fabulous, man. And 50 watts.
The fun part was, I mean, we kind of met up at an undisclosed location.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was a late night, like a drug one deal. In the morning deal. Like, it was kind of like, I've got the shit. Meet me at 1 a.m. at this location.
Yeah, that's perfect. Wouldn't want it any other way.
Really,
that's
though.
Great.
And then we... We met up in this beautiful theater that David had a friend of his open up. So the tone was like this. So the tone would really sing out.
Oh, so you...
No, we met in a theater.
That's great.
In an old wood theater.
So you could audition them right there.
Yeah, on stage.
Wow. God, that's great.
And so it was number two, number eight.
Wow.
And even though two was the second amp Dumble ever made, that one, number eight, to me, had the tone.
Yeah, because he had, like, you know, six other ones to get it right. You know? Maybe
at that point, I suppose that made a huge part of it.
Dumble was tweaking as he went. Uh-huh. So what cabinet are you running into? What's
this
going on?
Is a Glassworks single 12.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Love it. Love the cabinet.
Great.
And a Celestion... Celestion 100 watt, I believe.
Yeah, looks like a G112K100, yeah. Great. Okay, and then if this isn't cool enough, just sitting right next to it, you've got its little brother.
Yeah, this is an amp that Alexander made for me.
Now, when he's making, I've heard that when he's making an amp, like he really is trying to gear it towards your thing.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's a custom, like a custom suit, you know?
That's exactly what it is.
That's great.
You bring in, and especially with me, I have open tunings as low as B and as high as F, and you bring all your instruments, round necks, lap steels, different tunings, and he takes notes on his oscilloscope and what it's doing with the different instruments that you have. And from there, scientifically builds an amp around your frequency spectrum.
Wow, that is next level.
And I know people talk about the price situation, but that had nothing to do with Alexander. that's what the market demanded.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. And even at that price, I mean, the amp took me the better part of, I don't know, 3 to 5 years. It could have been 3, could have been 5. It felt like 100. But it was probably 3.5 years. And I mean, it was the only amp he was working on at the time. I mean, that's, he just does them one at a time. You just get in line. If you're lucky, you get in line. And then from there, you know, I would imagine he puts, I'm going to say like 500 hours into this. I mean, it was, it's a lot. I mean, when the chassis is metal, and when he put, you know, the clamps onto the metal, before there was one piece of solder in the whole thing, he said, I finally finished, you know, the frame of the amp, I guess, the chassis, right?
Yeah.
And it was so well polished, and the welds and everything was, that could have been in a museum.
Wow.
And he stuck a couple of the clips and put it on a scope, and it had zero charge. The metal frame for the amp had zero, there was nothing, no electrical magnetic pull coming from it. And he said, I've built these, and in the end, I've put my clip, my charge, I've gauged it, and it's had a, you know, 0.01 charge, and I had to start over.
Wow.
So, I mean, he makes sure that the frame doesn't have anything pulling that shouldn't be pulling. I mean, that's how serious he takes
God,
it.
Man.
He does all the cabinetry himself. I mean, it's wild. It's wild. Yeah. He's an artist. Yeah. He's an artist.
That is incredible. Yeah. Well, how great. And then how are you running both these? Are you running this into this cab, that into that? Or is there some crossover?
I go back and forth. There's crossover. And that I run this with some.
You know what? Should we talk about pedals to talk about how you get into it?
Yeah. But before, I sometimes run this through the single 12, and then I run this one through. And I go back and forth. You know, I'll play through one, and then I'll go, hey, let's try the other. And I'll go, oh, that sounded good, just for a little bit of shift. But they both just do it slightly different, but just both variations.
How great to have both of them running, man.
Yeah,
behind you, that's great. Okay, cool. We got to hear this thing.
So this is through the 50 watt.
Okay.
And both of the cabinets.
Okay, just running straight. So this is the Lindley, just straight.
The Lindley straight.
See? Three Grammys. That's what I'm talking about.
No. You know, it's funny, man. I got to change my lens. I got to put it through a different lens because it's the three I lost.
Yeah.
It haunts you just as much as the other ones, Bill Joe.
That's great,
and then,
man.
Side
note, what tune are you in right now?
I'm in a modal tuning, which is EBE, EBE.
Okay, yeah, sure.
And then I throw up the third. Put the third on the third string.
God, it sounds just killer. Great playing, man. That is just awesome.
Oh, man.
And that's just through the Lindley 50 watt.
That's it. That's clean. Yeah. That's just straight, no effects, just the amp.
Isn't that amazing? There's not even reverb, and yet it is so, I don't miss anything. You just, like, every note sings, you know? But it's great playing. I mean, that's... And this pedal board is modest.
Yeah, this is just...
Yeah, so what is your, what's your signal flow? And you go from your guitar to the...
Volume pedal.
Yeah, is that a Goodrich pedal? Or no, it's a Hilton.
Man, I can't remember who
it's
makes
it. It's a Hilton.
Brad, you remember who makes this volume pedal?
Yeah, Hilton.
Hilton Pro Guitar. Huh.
But I love it.
Yeah,
it doesn't mess with the tone or at all.
Yeah.
And then it's just...
I like that old school look, too. It looks... Yeah, that's neat.
It's got a thing. And then then the Zen Drive.
Okay.
Hermita Zen Drive. But I don't... When I'm soloing, sometimes I really want to stick out above the band, but I try to stick with the distortion off the amp.
Sure.
Tool.
Yeah. So really, you're just talking about volume pedal, tuner, Zen Drive, and that's it. The others are just switching the amps. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah, and then the overdrive. We'll get into that.
God, that is like, that's no delay, no reverb, just good for you, man. There's nowhere for those, nowhere to hide.
Exactly. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
Charlie doesn't like effects so much. So that kept me, I've been wanting to go guitar amp for a long time.
This is
as close as I've been to it.
Yeah, this is basically that. I mean, that is that. I mean,
thank you for saying so, because that's the center of the target.
Yeah.
And then you can also, like, it gets a... clean thing too, you know.
That's just beautiful, man. It's kind of amazing. You hear all those harmonic overtones that if you had more shit on there, like delay or reverb, those wouldn't cut. They wouldn't have that sparkle. That's great.
And then the overdrive does that, you know. Pick up. then it
Fed,
gets.
You are such a badass, man. No, that is
nothing.
Great.
I'm soggy right now, but. Yeah. Oh, I got it.
And those are those actual PAFs in that, right?
Those are the PAFs. But I got to tell you, man, like it's not. I sound the same in everything I play. I love, you know what I mean? I just do.
Yeah, man. I mean, well, that's the old, it's in the hands. But it's so cool hearing
However,
that.
I sound the same through every instrument I play, but not every amp. I got to say, man, the Dumbles, they're a motherfucker, man.
Yeah, that's great.
How great, man,
you found your thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, God, that sounds fabulous. Something about that, the sound of fingers on a string, you know?
Yeah, I've tried picks and all, but I never could. I'd rather bleed than wear picks.
Right,
well, for me.
But the tone is just there, man. That's just so, and it's.
That's the Lindley.
Awesome, man.
Brad, can we go through Greeny? Yep. Green on Green. Let's see what that does. Oh, one other favor. Can I see Prototype in B?
Yep.
Just kind of to reflect another frequency?
Force, how we doing?
10 minutes. Can they hold doors for 10 minutes?
I'm asking. We
got
to make noise to get ready for doors.
All right.
So
I'll
check it real quick. Yeah. Force, yeah. You are a patient man.
That's the lower thing. And let's just swap real quick, take 5 minutes with Green on Green, and then we'll be out.
Okay, cool.
That's great. So this is the Prototype of your SIG, the...
This is actually the first one ever made.
God,
first Asher ever made. Not the first, but the first finished kind of experiment like this.
And it's amazing how different the tone is from the other one. I mean, you'd think they would be...
Oh, you can really... Okay, that's good to know. So maybe it's not... Maybe they all do the pickup. You hope that you invest in a bunch of money in some pickups. They make a difference.
Well, I mean, they're both great, you know, but there is a difference. I mean, to me, it is...
All right, you hear it. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
That's great.
Oh, and then this, the newer one has.
Well, you know what? Let me switch our mics. Are we in this?
Oh, yeah, we're green.
Okay, I'm going over there. Let me do quickly do a little engineering. There we are. Okay, let's see.
The preamp with it.
Yeah. God, that is just dreamy.
Can I see Blackie one more time? Thanks, Brad.
That is dreamy, man. So same wood in these two, or?
Yeah, they're both mahogany maple cabs. But damn, now see, but I this is what I go back and forth between the. Clean sound on that one with the preamp up is fun because then you can
God, it's hard to believe it's the same instrument, right? It just all that different personality.
But they really do shape-shift. I mean, they're subtle differences, yeah. Kind of. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Ben, what a treat, man. That's awesome. You're awesome. This
Sorry,
guy
we're a little
is
bit
awesome.
Rushed for, we're a little bit rushed for time.
I know, you gotta do it. Hey, so we're gonna let you, you got a sold-out show, you got people waiting, so we're gonna let you go. But Ben, thank you, man. What an honor.
Hey, thanks there for having me on.
Yeah. Okay, thanks so much. This is John with Premier Guitar. Until next time.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the latest Rig Rundown. Guess what? Every week, we upload a brand new Rig Rundown to PremierGuitar.com a full week before it's available here on YouTube. So to get your gear fix as soon as humanly possible, go to PremierGuitar.com/Rig Rundown. And while you're there, be sure to sign up to get an email notification so you're the first to know as soon as each week's new Rig Rundown is available. Cheers, see you soon.